Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the King. Glory to God in the highest. Okay. Praise the Lord. As y'all know, we're going through a 40-day fast in our church. One person at a time. You know, we're not all of us fasting 40 days, but, you know, we can't do that in work. I've already tried that, and it didn't work. And so there's no way I can fast 40 days. The longest I've ever fasted and worked every day was 18 and a half days. Now, I did do that, you know, but the fact the Lord told me himself that day that my fast was over. I was to stop fasting, and so I did. We're going through a couple of weeks now. We start at 6 o'clock in the afternoon until 6 o'clock the next afternoon. And so, like today, somebody will take tomorrow, which will be Monday. Somebody already has today, and some will take tomorrow, and it will actually start this afternoon at 6 o'clock. After you have your evening meal this afternoon, don't eat again until 6 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So that'll be Monday. All day Monday, that will be your day to fast and pray. And then, of course, Tuesday will be the same thing. You'll start out Tuesday evening after you have your evening meal. Don't eat anymore until 6 o'clock Tuesday afternoon. So you'll have a one-day period there. And it's real easy to fast and pray one day at a time. You know, it's just really, really easy. So I figured we could all do that. And so I'd like to know who would volunteer to take Monday. Who would be a volunteer to take Monday? Do we have anybody that wants to take Monday? Okay, Joseph, he'll take Monday. Joseph takes Monday. Okay, then we need somebody for Tuesday. Who will do Tuesday? Yeah, Deborah, he'll take Tuesday to fast and pray on Tuesday. Okay, then Wednesday. Who will take Wednesday? Tom over here, he said he'll take Wednesday. Okay, who take Thursday then? Okay, over here. What is your name? I can't remember. Kelly. Okay, Kelly. That's Thursday. Then we need somebody for Friday. Okay, Bill, he will take Thursday. Friday. Okay, and then the following Saturday, okay, Dan back there will take Saturday. And then we got Sunday, next Sunday. Who will take Sunday? Okay. Okay, you will take Sunday? James and Kathy, okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, now we got another week. Cheryl and I usually fill in. We don't just fill in. Usually we take Saturday also, you know, from Friday evening till Saturday evening. We don't eat. And, of course, yesterday I fasted and prayed. We both fasted and prayed yesterday. But I sure was glad the fast was over at 6 o'clock because, I mean, not that I was hungry at all. But we went to the fire department's fish fry last night, which actually started at 4:30, but we didn't leave here till 5. And then by the time we got through the line, it was 6 o'clock before we got to eat, wasn't it, Jeff? And boy, did, oh my goodness gracious, I won't even tell you how bad I pigged out. But Scott, it was good stuff, wasn't it? Yeah, so all of us went down there and we had a good meal yesterday at the fire department. I was really blessed, so. Okay, so we got another week taken care of through next Sunday. Now then, honey, here. Oh, okay, yeah. And if we definitely want to pray for our people in authority, and there's a little two-page, actually one-page on both sides, and it's titled Prayer for Those in Authority. So if you're having difficulty praying for those in authority at all, or if you just want to see how somebody else done it, you can take this little sheet and you can literally read these prayers. That's what they are. Just prayers about having to pray for those in authority. And they're on the back there. So just in case, because the Lord tells us to pray for those in authority. And during our prayer time, we definitely want to pray for those in authority. Because the Lord says if we will pray for those in authority, we can live in peace. And we need that, don't we? And so, you know, if you haven't been praying for those in authority, get you one of these sheets and read it once or twice or three times during the course of the day that you're fasting and praying, because we want to pray for those in authority. Yeah. I love living in peace. Praise the Lord.
So do I. All right. Good to see all y'all today. And as you know, we're doing the Christ Haven for Children, our 10th annual benefit. So far, I think we have 53 kids, something like that. And we've raised $14,100. I've spent $13,000. Easy to do this week. But what happened was very interesting. On Tuesday, I think it was, I was looking for one specific brand of jeans that a teenage girl wanted it, and I found it at the Kohl's over in Flower Mound. So I go there, and I get they hold it for me. I go get the jeans, and then I'm picking up other things that I like, and then I stop and on a counter and start sorting them out, you know, small, medium, and large. And this lady at the jewelry counter says, "Excuse me, can I help you?" And I said, "Oh, no, I'm just putting the names on the tags so I know who to give them to." She asked what I was doing, so I told her. I gave her this little yellow piece of paper, and she said, "Well, you know," she said, we have the A-team here, the associates, and they give you grant money." And I went, "Oh, really?" So she says, "Let me call my assistant manager," so that she called her over, and she said, "Oh, yeah, every day I shop for these kids, they will give me $500. Well, I went and shopped 3 days this week and spent a lot of money, which was such a blessing. Not only did they do that they're going to give me, they're giving to the ministry $1,500, but they are also giving me 30% now, which before I couldn't get 30%. So
wow,
Jesus is just awesome.
Lord.
You know, he just, yes, to give him a hand clap. We love you, Jesus.
Amen, Lord. Thank you for
we're
giving
proud
those children 30% off. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, and
yes,
so,
Lord.
Yes, we are. We're very excited that he did that. And then, like, I've become a fixture in the store. People will come up and say, "Excuse me, do you work here?" And I say, "No, but what do you need?" You know? And then I send them to wherever and tell them, "Oh, this is the cheapest price. Oh, that's the Best Buy," you know. And so it's been kind of interesting. So this one mother and daughter with their grandkids were there shopping, and I was out in the hallway, and I finally quit going back and get carts. I had my cart completely full, and it's like I got a kid cart in it, so it's really a big cart, okay? And then in the hallway, I'm just stacking stuff. And then every once in a while, I'd see an employee, and I'd say, "Excuse me, would you take that up to customer service? And when you come back by or something, would you bring me another cart?" So I just stayed right there. Well, this lady, she's watching what I'm doing. So, of course, in a minute, she comes over to me and says, "Excuse me, do you know where the girls' coats are, this or whatever?" And I said, "Oh, sure, right down here." You know, I'm giving her all this information. And she said, "Well, you're sure buying a lot." And I said, "Oh, yeah." So I give her the yellow sheet, and then she goes and gets her coat, and then she comes back by, and she says, "Well, you know, you're helping all these kids. Is there a way that we can help too?" And I said, "Oh, yes." "Oh, yes." And so she said, well, she would call me and get the address to send some money. So I was like, praise the Lord. That was a wonderful thing. So anyway, I brought up here the picture books. There's two of them now from last year. I also have a list called Gifts Left to Purchase. If anybody'd like to look at it and pick out something they'd like to buy and, you know, wrap it and put the name on it, that's great. We desperately need wrappers. The whole ministry center is full to the ceiling almost and having trouble walking in the hall. So if anyone would like to come anytime during the week, just call and say you're coming so we, you know, can prepare you a spot. We'd love to have you come wrap. And if you want to give more money, just notate on your check. Just put children over in the side. I go Tuesday. Keep me in prayer. Tuesday I go to Ambucks to speak, which I do every year. Last year they normally give me $500. Last year they gave me $2,000. But they told me I was approved to $2,500. So I'm thinking this year they're going to give me more because I believe God wants me to have more. And then I also go to Tom Durant Chevrolet, and he always gives me $500. So I'll go get his money. So Tuesday will be a very efficient day. But anyway, thank you all for everything you're doing, and thank you for blessing and buying different things that different people are buying things, and thank you for doing that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now then, praise the Lord. Yeah, like I say, last year we bought Christmas for over 1,000 children. You know, so we brought lots of Christmas last year. So anybody have a testimony you want to give today? We have any testimonies of anybody who wants to tell what God done for them? If you want to give a testimony, it's going once, going twice. Uh-oh, we got a lady fixing to stand up over here. Come on. Yeah, I didn't quite get to three times, so if Jesus did something for you, I think he meant for you to tell it.
Yes, the Lord, he's so wonderful. He's so magnificent. I've been suffering with heart problems, and they said I had diabetes, high blood pressure. I've been here. I came and Pastor Thurman prayed for me last week, and I've been searching out the sin of my life, and the Lord revealed a lot of things to me. And this week I was healed of the diabetes, the high blood pressure, and now I'm just waiting for the heart, for my new heart and my new arteries. I know they're coming.
Amen.
I have already received it. I'm just waiting for it to manifest, and I'm looking for the day I can go back and show the doctors what because with what they've done to me, with the stents that they put in, there is no medical way that they could remove those. And when God takes them out, it's going to be tremendous.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, we love seeing the Lord heal people. He's such a, oh my goodness, Rose over there shaking her hand. My goodness gracious. That girl's got something she's going to tell us today. Praise the Lord.
I just want to tell you that God does even just little bitty things. And some of you may know, and now you're going to all know, I'm doing the Dave Ramsey thing, getting out of debt. So I had this debt that I'd been paying on $1,000 every month, and I called them and they told me I had $1,885 left on it, and I said, send me the letter. So they sent me the letter. I got it Wednesday. I immediately lost it. I knew how much I needed to do, but I needed the letter to send it back in with them. So I prayed, Father, I have looked everywhere. I can't find it. I came up here Thursday and went back home Thursday night, and it was laying in the middle of my kitchen table.
Wow.
It had not been there before.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Sounds like you had an angel visit, Cheryl. I mean, Rosemary, praise the Lord. Sounds like you had an angel visit, so praise the Lord. Okay, so we got another one? We got John and Ayesha come running up here or something. We got something going on here.
Another testimony.
Oh, praise the Lord.
When we were at Home Depot, we saw a cart of logs. So we went up to ask the owner of the store or one of the employees if we could get it. And it said $50 for the whole thing. And so she said, okay, I tell you what, you can get the whole thing for $2.
Wow, praise the Lord. Wow, praise the Lord. Okay, now we got one more here.
About 2 weeks ago, my son-in-law has started, he's an independent adjuster, so he goes to all the storms and everything, and he started his own company. So then he went out looking for office space, and he was looking all over the area, Grapevine, Flower Mound, Louisville, South Lake, and Colleyville. And so finally he found one he really, 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 really wanted in Grapevine. But there were two people already ahead of him on it saying that they wanted it. So he was the third man down. And they had the money. They had everything. So, you know, they were going, oh, gosh, that's what he really wants. And I said, well, have you prayed? And Christy, my daughter, calls me, and she said, well, no. And I said, well, then let's pray about it. I said, Jesus will give you whatever you want if you pray. So I prayed for her, went to the throne of grace, prayed that Eric would get the particular space he needed, that he would be the one. And so.
And the other people would get a better one.
Yes, and the other people would get a better one. Absolutely. And because one of them actually was for some children, and they really didn't need that space. They needed something else, a different kind of space. But anyway, so we prayed for him to get it, and it ended up. She calls me like in 3 or 4 days and says, oh, Mom, thank you for praying. He got the space.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. Praise the Lord. Okay. Is that all of us? All right. Oh, we got another one back here. Okay. Come up here. Praise the Lord. I was just fixing to turn the mic off. You was almost too late. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Well, you know, last Sunday I was up here telling about my next door neighbors up there trying to get their air conditioner changed out on their car, you know, and I called for an angel, and just real quick that just came under the nut, came loose, and got to change out the compressor on their car. Well, just this last week, Nancy and I were just working away, you know, in the house there, and the doorbell rang. And guess who it was? That neighbor from two doors up.
Oh, okay.
He's standing there and says, Alden, I said, well, come on in. I says, can I help you? And he kind of was just very reluctant to say anything much. And I said, well, come on in, just sit down. I want to tell me what's going on. And he really wanted me to pray for him. And that's what it was. I anointed him with oil and prayed for him, and tears just rolled out of his eyes. And he was just so blessed. And I got to tell you all, this fasting program is awesome, because this whole time I have been feeling the presence of God in a new way, a higher level. And as you all are praying, continue to pray for a greater anointing, because God needs good, dedicated people who's not happy with just being a Christian. He wants people to step out in faith and to please Him in a mighty way.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Oh, Bill, you got one too? Praise the Lord. Wow, we're on a roll today. Praise the Lord. Nobody would want to do nothing, and now we got them coming to right and left. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I was contacted in sort of a strange way by a man that I'd never met. He called me one day on the phone and said, I've got some people that need representation from a Christian man that's in the oil and gas business, which I am. And he said, I've recommended you to talk to these gentlemen. I've told them about you. He said, I learned about you from another friend of mine out in California. So you know how things take a long curve around. I got this call, and sure enough, this man said, we're in a position to buy oil and gas properties for a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money. So anyway, he said, I'd like for you to see if you've got anything that you could talk to us about. And I said, I'd like to meet you. And he said, well, I'll be down in your area. He lives out of town. He said, I'll be in your area the day after Thanksgiving. But in between that time and right today, I had two things come up that I called him and talked to him about. And both of them precipitated in a meeting yesterday by a telephone conference call. There's another meeting tomorrow by telephone conference call, and another man that I had put him in touch with, which you happened to meet earlier, that this man apparently indicated he wants to fund both of these projects. So I was going to wait until after the final thing had occurred, but I'm saying it's going to happen.
Amen.
But that happened on the day that I fasted. Part of it did, and then the next thing I wanted to say was, you know, this is a healing ministry, and so often we hear that some things don't come except by prayer and fasting. Amen. Well, the first time that I ever went on a fast, and I think this is a good time to bring this up, a lady had asked me if I would pray for her at the altar when I was one of the elders in this church that we go to, and I told her, I said, I'm going on a fast today, because I said, the Sunday school class had asked if the Lord had ever called anybody's name, and several hands went up, and I said, I've never had the Lord call my name before, and I said, I know that you need prayer, but I'd like to go on this fast first before I pray for you. And she had breast cancer, or at least it was diagnosed as breast cancer. I suppose she did have. So, well, anyway, I went on this fast, and I said, I'll call you when I'm off the fast. Well, I fasted 5 days just on water. I didn't even start to get hungry, but the first night I fasted, the first night going that Sunday, went home that night, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I heard this voice, Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Well, was stupid me. I said, Betty, did you hear that? She was sound asleep. You know? I wish I had said, yes, Lord, and had a conversation, but maybe that doesn't happen like that. I don't know. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you, though, that I did, I broke that fast in 5 days and called the lady. Her name's Lillian Uzel. You can ask her about it. And I went over to her house, and I prayed and anointed her with oil, just like it just talks about in James 5:14-15. And the Lord did heal her totally, completely.
Amen.
So I tell you, folks, if you really, really, really want to see somebody healed, think about that fast, because evidently when we step into that, God's going to step more into His part of seeing that we get our prayer answered.
Amen.
So that's what I wanted to mention.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. Wow, let's get into the Word a minute. What about yesterday? Oh, I don't worry about that. I've got that under control. You know, I know what I'm doing. My wife tries to get ahead of me sometimes. That's what we get with God sometimes. He's got it all planned out, exactly what He's going to do, and we try to get in front of Him. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, start with verse 1. I want to show you some things here in the Word today, what Paul told Timothy. He said, Timothy, my dear son, be strong with the special favor God gives you in Christ Jesus. Now, that's not just to Timothy. That's to each one of us as a believer. We all have this power available to us. Just like you just heard Bill say, he fasted and prayed for a lady who had breast cancer, and the Lord healed that woman. Amen. You know, isn't it wonderful when the King uses you for something like that? Doesn't it just humble you to think how great and awesome He is that He'll use people like you and me to get people healed? It's just something. You have heard me teach many things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. So that you'll know a little bit about what happened yesterday. Yesterday, of course, I was fasting and praying, and Dave walked into my office just about 1 o'clock, and he said, "Thurman, there is some people here that thought there was a healing school today, and they come to a healing school." And he says, I told him the healing school is not for a couple more weeks. It's the second Saturday of every month. He said, "Would you like to talk with them?" I said, "Of course. Let me go at least talk with them." Well, there was a family, 5 people, a husband, a wife, 2 daughters, and a son-in-law. There was 5 of them, and all of them were sick. They all needed something, you know, and I'm telling you. So I told them, I said, "Y'all come in," and as we begin to walk through the ministry center, they saw where we produce all of our stuff, you know, where we make the copies and printing, and wow, they were amazed. And the older mother, she said, "Well, I can't stand up. I'm hurting so bad. I have diabetes." I said, "Well, come on." And I brought them in here, right here, and set them all down on this front row, all 5 of them. And I got down on my hands and knees in front of them, and I taught a healing school until 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon to 5 people. But I told them, I said, "This is the way I started out. When God called me first, He used to call me, and I'd look at the deacon, the list, of the numbers. I was a deacon at a Baptist church over in Louisville, and I would look there, and there would be somebody, a man or his wife or his children or something, be on the prayer list, pray for me or pray for my son or my daughter. They have this or this or this. Well, I'd let the Holy Spirit lead me, and I'd pick one of those, and then I would go to that home, and I would sit down with those people, and I would spend 2 to 5 hours with that family showing them what caused them to be sick or caused their children to be sick. And this was not something they could get in church. It was not taught in church. But God had revealed these things to me. So I would go over there and I would pray for these people. And then after I would get them to repent of sin, I would find their sin. And sometimes it would take me a long time to find their sin. And then after I get them to repent of that sin, then I would begin to build their faith with the promises of God. And as I built their faith with the promises of God, then I would pray for those people. And I'm telling you, I started out, and I did that probably for 10 years at least. And of course, when I first started out, I might take 1 or 2 a month, you know, and then it began to grow, and those people would get healed. When they get healed, guess what they do? They tell their friends. And so I started getting phone calls. And so then I would go to these people's home, and some of these people wasn't even from the Baptist church. You know, they were just Christians, or sometimes it wasn't Christians at all. You know, but I don't care who you are, Christian or non-Christian, if you get sick, do you want to get well? Of course, people want to get well. So these people would start telling other people. And so first thing you know, I'm not going twice a month, 3 times a month, 4 times a month. I'm going 2 times a week, 3 times a week, 4 times a week, 5 times a week, 6 times a week. I'm going every night somewhere to somebody. And it was amazing. That's when I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, there's not enough of me." I said, there's no way I can continue to do this and teach all the people You're sending to me. I said, "Lord, what should I do?" And just as clear as a bell, He said, "Make tapes. Make tapes." So I sat down in my living room. I went out and bought me a little $150 recorder, a little dinky microphone. And I would sit down in my upstairs bedroom, and I would take the Word of God, and I would teach a few of these things, and I would put it on pause, and I'd get me another little string of stuff, and I'd push record again, and I made my first 90-minute tape. And then I made a second one, and of course, it wasn't long till I made the one on the curses, because in fact, I always give them away. And of course, one day I was over in Louisville, there was a doctor over there, and he saw me. I didn't know who he was. I just happened to be in that part of town. And as I started to walk across the street, he said, "Thurman Scrivener." I said, "Yes, sir." I went over and he said, "I'm Dr. So-and-so." I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "You're a medical doctor?" He said, "Yes." He said, somebody said that they come to you after I had diagnosed them with something and found out they were under some kind of a curse, and after they repented and broke the curse, you prayed for them and they got healed when I couldn't heal them. He says, do you have any of those tapes with you? I said, I sure do. I said, I have some of them over in my seat of my pickup. I had only made about 5 different tapes at that time. That's all I had, about 5 different 90-minute tapes. And I went over, and actually the curses, it took me 2 90-minute tapes to make those. And of course, my duplication equipment was extremely fast. It took 90 minutes to make the tape, and it took 45 minutes to duplicate the tape. But that's the way I started out. Now then, of course, man, I mean, we can burn them in seconds. You know, wow. I'd hate to think I had to make 10,000 a week like I did it back in those days, but that's the only way I could do it. That's all I had. And so I went over, got the 2 tapes, took them over, and handed them to him. And he said, how much are they? I said, oh, they're free. I don't charge anything. I had never, as far as I know, never received a penny at this point from anything. I'd always just give them away. I felt honored that somebody would take something that I made, you know. I mean, my goodness gracious, why? How could I possibly charge somebody for something, especially it's God's Word? And so I just said, no, they're free. I don't charge for them. And he just reached in his pocket, you know, like this, and pulled out a bill, and he said, here, take this, and folded my hand back up, and I said, okay, thank you. I didn't even look at it. And I got over in my pickup, went to open the door, and opened my hand, it was $100 bill. I said, wow, thank you, Lord. That'll make a lot of tapes, you know. But that's the way God has done it. Since then, he has continued to send us money from everywhere to pay for all these teachings that we send out. You cannot outdo God. You know, so when I send these teachings out, you know, when people get prayed for, like this precious young lady right here, you know, and she got rid of her high blood pressure and her diabetes, she's a happy girl today. You know that? Wouldn't anybody be happy with that? Oh, yes, and that's the way God has blessed me. And as I have went and blessed them and done what God told me to do, he has blessed me with the finances to pay for all these things we do. And so anyway, he says here, you have heard me teach many things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now, you people in this room are not like the people that was here yesterday. They were all Southern Baptists. As Baptists, some of the things I taught, in fact, as I taught a little while there within about an hour, they're all sitting there saying, especially the 2 daughters. Of course, these are grown women, you know. They're grown and married and everything else. But they're saying, we go to church all the time. How come we never hear this in church? I said, well, I don't know. But I said, is it in your Bible? Absolutely. It's in my Bible. I said, well, I don't know why you don't hear it. But I said, I didn't hear it either. But Paul's telling us here, he's taught many things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. I told them, I said, I have many reliable witnesses. I said, back there on this counter on the back table, back here on the back, I have testimonies of miraculous healings of many different people. And those people are all still alive and well today, all of them. So you can check them out if you want to see if these miracles really happened. And they did. They really happened. So just like Paul says, he said, now teach these great truths to trustworthy people. What are we supposed to do with these truths when we learn them? Hide them in your pocket? No, you're to teach them to somebody that's trustworthy. You know, you start talking to somebody about Jesus and say, you know, I got healed. I went out to the Living Savior Ministries, and that man taught the Word of God like I've never heard it in my life. But I got healed out there. They say, I don't believe that junk. Well, it ain't going to do no good to try to teach them, is it? No, if they don't believe that junk, then if they get excited and say, wow, you got healed over there. Tell me how it happened. Well, now then, let me tell you how it happened. If you got enough of it so far, make sure you're trained yourself before you try to teach somebody else how to do this. I mean, you know, so many people hear a little morsel here and a little morsel there, and they think they've got it, but they don't. You know, and it don't work for them until you get the whole thing. So you got to really get in there with God. He said, now teach these great truths to trustworthy people who are able to pass them on to others. Verse 3 and 4. Endure suffering along with me. Uh-oh. He could have thrown something else in there, couldn't he, Betty? I mean, do we enjoy suffering? No, none of us enjoy suffering. But Paul obviously had to endure suffering, so he says, you're going to have to endure it too. So endure suffering with me. You know, there will be people that will do terrible things to you. You know, and you can't believe that you do something good for them and then they do something bad to you. But believe me, I've had that happen in my life. I have prayed for people, and some of them for their children, that have been miraculously healed. Then later, the people will believe that it wasn't my prayer, that it was everybody else's prayer that healed their child, but yet their child was terminal. And I've had people tell me, Thurman, it was not your prayers that healed that child. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I can think of two or three different children right now, but I can tell you for sure that the people that were there were not praying in faith. I was listening to them beg and plead, oh God, if it be your will you heal this child? God don't hear those kind of prayers. He don't move with those kind of prayers. He moves with the prayers of faith. In fact, I told one person that I got their child healed a few years ago, and they literally read me the riot act and told me not ever to call them again, not come see them again. They didn't ever want to hear of me again, ever. And yet their child was on their deathbed when I prayed for the child, and they were healed. And they told me, we don't want to hear from you no more. I said, okay. And so I've never bothered them again. Never. But I will have to say, I will tell you this. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I hadn't prayed for that little child that day, that child would have died. There might have been 1,000 people praying for that child, but there was only one praying in faith, and that was me. And I knew I was praying in faith. But anyway, I said, okay. So, that kind of makes you feel sad. But endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. As Christ's soldiers, do not let themselves get tied up in the affairs of this life, for then you cannot satisfy the one who has enlisted you in his army. Do we look at ourselves as soldiers? You know, soldiers, I think about, I was in Vietnam, and it wasn't no fun over there. But I think about the boys that are in Iraq today. It ain't no fun over there either. You know, you hear all the time about another 8 or 10 or something that got killed. Somebody drove into a truck or something this last week and killed 12 or so of our guys. They were all alive and well men, and somebody drove into their truck with a bomb in their truck, and it blew the thing up, and 10 or 12 or whatever it was of our American soldiers lost their lives. Well, that happens pretty regular, but it happened in Vietnam when I was over there too. You know, so there were so many things that was so terrible that happened in Vietnam. I thought we were fighting for this country so we could have a constitution. But let me tell you today, there's no way today with the commander-in-chief that we got in the United States of America and the Congress and the Senate that we have up there today, I would be locked up in jail before I would go fight for this country again. The only place I'm going to fight for this country again is when there's bloodshed right here. That's when I'm going to fight. I ain't going to Afghanistan or Iraq to fight for this country because they're not fighting for this country. They're fighting to glorify themselves, not us. They're sending us to foreign countries, killing us, and they're overstepping and running the Constitution in the ground and becoming a socialistic government right here in America. Let me tell you, the day's coming when there's going to be bloodshed right here. It's coming. I don't know how long the people are going to sit down and put up with the nonsense that's going on in the world today, but I fought in Vietnam, and if I ever fight again, it'll be on the shores of this country right here. And I don't want to have to see that happen, but I got a feeling it's going to happen in my lifetime. Isn't that sad? There's one thing we can do that we're not doing enough, but we're doing it right now. We're praying and fasting. And that's how we dropped that nuclear bomb on Washington, D.C. You know, we can drop a nuclear bomb of prayer on Washington, D.C., and we can get the king, our king, to move on the hearts of different men so we don't have to have bloodshed in America. But that's why we're having the problem we're having now, because the church is not praying like she should be praying. I mean, I know Christians that don't pray all week long. I know Christians that ain't never been on a fast in their entire life. I was one of those. I went on many, being a Baptist, we knew what feasting was, but we didn't know what fasting was. I mean, whenever we had a meeting or something, the women, they'd tell the girls, you know, y'all bring your favorite foods. Well, we didn't fast. I mean, we feasted, you know, just like when we have a potluck dinner, you know, all you girls bring all kinds of wonder, and some of you guys do too. You bring great things, and man, we come out of there with our plate heaped up, do we not? Yeah, just like last night. I mean, man, when I went through the line with the fish, man, Cheryl told me, said, that guy must have really thought you were hungry. Man, he really piled my plate up. I said, well, I don't want to go off and leave any of it. So I ate every bite. Oh, I couldn't hardly, they almost had to roll me out of the place. I thought Jeff was going to have to roll me out of there. I was so full when we got through. We are soldiers, and we're in a battle, and we're enlisted in the Lord's army. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, some people will tell you now everything's going to be great. They're lying to you. It ain't going to be great. You have just joined the war, you know, and you're going to have to you're going to encounter the enemy, I can assure you. You're going to have to learn how to overcome the enemy. God is not going to let you get through this thing with no trials and tests. But He wants you to know how powerful and how awesome He is. So if you get in there and obey Him, there's an awesome scripture in James chapter 4, verse 7. And I want you to look at it. We'll go there, and then we'll come right back here to 2 Timothy. I want you to look at James 4, 7. What is the first word there? What does it mean to submit? Obey. In other words, submit or obey the Lord, right? And then what can we do? After we have submitted to God and obey Him completely, what does it say we can do? Oh, then we can resist the devil or the enemy, and he'll flee from us. Isn't that wonderful? Now then, if you want to be a good soldier, you're going to have to be the soldier that's submitted totally to your commander-in-chief. If you're submitted to your commander-in-chief, then he will do great things for you. He will use you mightily for his glory. Okay, now let's go back where we were. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier. Let's go to next 5 and 6. Follow the Lord's rules for doing His work. Does the Lord have rules? Name one of them. Just name one of the rules that God has. Somebody, do not sin. That's a big one, Elder. That covers a great big one. That's right. Do not sin. What's that, Betty?
Love.
Love. That's another one. Yeah, that definitely the commander-in-chief commanded us to love, right?
Believe.
Believe my word. Absolutely. Those are awesome statements, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do not lie. Absolutely. That's a good one. There's lots of rules. Do not murder. That's another one. Do not fear. Wow. In other words, Richard, he's got a whole bunch of rules, hadn't he? Yeah, when we get on a roll here, boy, we're getting on a roll. Y'all are getting it now. You know, you think about walk in faith. Wow, there is lots of rules, isn't there? Well, we could probably go on for an hour, you know, and talk about the Lord's rules. If you don't know what these rules are, you need to get in the owner's manual or the war manual and read it, what the rules are like. And then you need to obey those rules. Now he says, follow the Lord's rules for doing His work. Just as an athlete either follows the rules or is disqualified and wins no prize. Now, if God told you as a child of God to walk in love and to hold no grudges against anybody, and you get into a grudge with someone, will He discipline you? Well, yes, He will. I mean, He will send a tormenting spirit to torment you, which will do, it can either break you financially or it can put cancer or anything else on you, can it, Joseph? We don't like those rules, do we? But it don't make any difference whether we like them or not, does it, Jeff? The rules are there, and we're going to obey them or we're going to suffer the consequences, right? That's just the way it is, yeah. So God makes the rules. We have to obey the rules or we're going to be disqualified and we're going to win no prize. Now, how would you like to be disqualified and never get another prayer answered as a child of God? Not me. I mean, I want my prayers to be answered, don't you? So I want to walk in obedience to His rules. Then He says, even the hardworking farmers are the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. In other words, that's absolutely right. When a farmer goes out, I mean, whenever the watermelons come in or the cantaloupes come in or the grain comes in or whatever, he's the first one to enjoy the benefits of his labor. Verse 7 and 8. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will give you understanding in all these things. Never forget that Jesus Christ was a man born into King David's family and that he was raised from the dead. This is the good news. Now then, how many gods do you know of, or how many men do you know of in history that there's ever been confirmation or confirmed absolute results that he died and he rose again after he died? There's only how many? Only one. Only Jesus. You take Allah, his prophet Muhammad, he died and he's buried over there in Mecca. and they bow down. When I was in Egypt building that building, those people stopped five times a day and put their little mat down, and they faced Mecca, and they prayed to a dead god. And to tell you how dead their God is, one day I was there. Of course, Friday was their day of fast. They're always supposed to fast on Friday. And this one guy, he was not fasting on Friday. I said, "Sir, today's your fast day." He said, "Oh, but Mr. Scrivener, it's cloudy today. God can't see me." I thought, I'd hate to have his God, wouldn't you? I'll tell you, my God says he can see through the thickest darkness. Is that right, Joseph? Everything is laid bare before his eyes. It make any difference, dark or light. He sees everything. He even sees in the heart. He knows what you're thinking before you even think it. So all you got to do to sin is just think something, and you can get into trouble with God. But he says, never forget that Jesus Christ was a man born into King David's family and that he was raised from the dead. This is the good news. And of course, there is only one God, and his name is Jesus. This is something that gets me. Maybe I just get so upset with this. I see people like that down in South Carolina just recently at a football game. They've been praying in the name of Jesus in this little school forever. Nobody's ever said anything. And here just recently, some atheist went to a football game and somebody prayed the prayer. You know, they pray, you know, "Father, in Jesus' name, protect the players and direct the coaches." You know how we pray. You know, just kind of simple little thing. But we're praying. We're talking to God. And to do it in the name of Jesus. And one man came against his school and they agreed to never use the name of Jesus again. I mean, we have laid down, absolutely let one stupid, unbelieving guy walk in and tell us what to do. And we're the body of the living God. We need to be telling them what to do. Amen. Not them telling us what to do. I mean, I can almost get my indignation rise. I can almost get so mad about this. I mean, don't come in and tell me I can't pray in the name of Jesus, because I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. If I pray, and I don't pray silently. When I pray for everybody. Oh, by the way, I'm just going to throw this in right here. I have just been given the privilege, starting Monday, we're going back on KKGM 1630 at 7:45 in the morning, and then they're going to give me a 15-minute show at 4:00 to 4:15 a.m. in the morning. So we're going to be on KKGM, the Dallas Metroplex, which is a full-powered AM station, which I was on for about 5 years, and then we went off of there. But now then, I'm going back on there starting Monday. So KKGM found out that the format that they took, which wasn't Christian, didn't work. So Mr. Martinson, I believe, was told by the Lord himself he wanted Christian programming back on his radio network. And so, I mean, Mr. Martinson, praise God, he was listening. And so he's going to put Christian programming back on 1630 KKGM. And it's starting. So we're going to be on there again. Yes, praise the Lord. And it's a real blessing because we only have to pay for one and they give us another one free. Now, we've got a couple of stations up in the North Virginia area that's doing that same thing. They charge us for one 15-minute show and then give us another one. And every once in a while, I get tickled. I talked to the lady the other day about paying my bill up there. And she said, "Do you know so-and-so?" And I said, "No, ma'am, I have no idea who that is." She said, "He has a show on Saturday, and any time he cannot be here," said, "which every once in a while, something happens, he can't be here, he calls us and said, just put Thurman's show on in my place." Amen. So he said, he loves your teaching. So I don't have a clue what all God's doing, but he's doing some wonderful things, I will say that. And of course, I didn't even know that. You know, I didn't even have any idea about that, but... Now then, let's go to the verse 9 and 10. "And because I preach this good news that Jesus died and rose again on the third day," and Paul said, if I have to suffer, you're going to have to suffer. So if we teach about Jesus, "and because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal, but the Word of God cannot be chained." Can you imagine anybody throwing you in jail for teaching the best thing that ever could happen to the world? Jesus Christ. But is it happening all over? Yes, it is. People are dying and being beat up and killed and everything. You just don't have any idea, living here in America, how little we have been persecuted. And we're stepping back and let it happen. Well, let me tell you what, folks. If we don't rise up and stop this nonsense, they're going to take us over just like they are some of these other countries. I mean, it's going to take some personal intervention. You know, when we are going to have to start standing up and telling these people. I almost got thrown out of a school, my granddaughter's school, where she goes to Caitlin, where she goes to school. They invited us over on a special day, Grandparents' Day, or actually it was a military day. And so we went, since I was a veteran, my granddaughter knew I had been a veteran in the war, so she invited me to come have dinner with her. So Cheryl and I went over to the school over here to have dinner, and we walked in, and of course, when we walked in, every door's locked. You can't get in nowhere. So they have to acknowledge who you are to let you in the front door to the front desk, and then you can't go beyond that. Every door's locked. I thought, is this a prison? You know, I mean, is this a school? When I went to school, you could go anywhere, anything, and you could go in and out any door you wanted to, and nothing was locked. Everything was locked. And so we got there, and I said, well, you know, I'm Thurman Scrivener. I'm Caitlin's granddaddy, and this is my wife, Cheryl. So we come to have dinner with her on the Military Armed Forces Day, and they said, okay, we need to see your driver's license. I said, okay. So I took out my driver, handed it to him, said, okay, now we want to see her driver's license. And Cheryl said, I didn't bring my purse. And the lady said, well, if you don't have your driver's license, you can't go in and have lunch with your granddaughter. I said, look, I'm the grandfather. This is my wife. You have my identification. They said, but I'm sorry. I said, call the principal. Get him down here. And so, man, Cheryl said, Connie, calm down. Be gentle. I said, not what the Vietnam had fought for so I could have freedom in this place. And here I am, come here on Armed Forces Day, and they won't even let you and me in to sit here with our granddaughter. I said, I am not going to be peaceful. Somebody said, that ain't very Christian. Let me tell you, sometimes I forget what it is to be a gentle Christian. Sometimes I'm a violent Christian. You know that? And I think that day is coming more and more to us all the time. You know, they finally let us in. They finally let us in. The principal came and said, well, I'm not supposed to do this. I said, look, Buster, let me tell you. Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I told him when he said, I can't do that. I said, then you call somebody and find somebody that can approve for my wife to go in and have lunch with our granddaughter. I said, Buster, this is why I went to Vietnam. This is what I fought for this country, for freedom. And here I am in my daughter's granddaughter's own school with my own wife right here with my identification. And you're telling me she can't go in there and have lunch? I said, you better get the right person down here because we're going to have a knockdown drag out here if we don't get in there to have lunch with that girl. And so they opened the door and let us in. Isn't that amazing? We live in a world that's gone nuts. But us as Christians, we're going to have to stand our ground. Because let me tell you, somebody offend this no God at all we call Allah. It's amazing when 1 or 2% of the people can control the rest of us. That's exactly what's happening. I think when they make a movie about Jesus Christ and it offends us, we ought to all rise up and say no. But what do? We don't do nothing. We're a bunch of passive Christians. And we don't stand our ground. Maybe that's why God don't do much for us. Maybe that's why. You ever thought about maybe that's why God don't do a whole lot for us? You know, in the church, I was raised in a church. Most of my life, I never saw a miracle, never saw an answer to prayer, never saw a healing, didn't even know they exist. Never heard about a demon, not one time. And I was in church. I was not a normal church member. I was supernatural. I was in church every time the door was opened. And yet, I didn't see anything. There's got to be something wrong with a church like that. In this church, I see our King show up on a regular basis. He always shows up for us, does wonderful things for people. But I realize I'm in a battle. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and I've been chained like a criminal. But the Word of God cannot be chained. I am willing to endure anything if it brings salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus, those God has chosen. What are we supposed to be willing to endure? Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. If they throw you in jail, so be it. If they throw you in jail, preach to the guys in jail. You know, but they'll never, that's just like me when they told me I couldn't pray over people in the workplace. I told them, you ain't no way you're ever going to shut me up. You know, I mean, I've seen God do too many miracles. So I continued to pray. And of course, whenever they finally fired me after 29 years with the company, of course, it wasn't with that company. That company, they bought us out right at the end, and I was only with them for 7 years. The rest of it, the Christian companies I was with, they were really great men and women of God. But when they put me over SkyShift, that place is as lost. When I walked through SkyShift and their business out there at DFW Airport, I saw Satan everywhere I turned in that place. That was the most wicked place I ever saw in my life. But I went in there and took control. One man. You could do the same thing I did. I walked into a place of business where the first day I walked through there, all I heard was women and men cussing, using foul words, throwing the signs at each other all over the place. Like you would never believe in a place of business with 1,000 people in it. And the next morning on the way to work, I give the devil a note. I said, Buster, I want you to know I'm moving into SkyShift and you're moving out. And I'm telling you, in the 7 years I was there, I changed SkyShift. You go to SkyShift and ask anybody that was there 7 years ago, do you know Thurman Scrivener? Oh, yeah, that holy crazy guy. Yeah, we know him. He's the guy that prayed for everybody. Yeah, we know him. Everybody knows me. And they know me because I was doing things for my Lord. And that's the way we should be. When we leave a place, they ought to remember who we are. You know that? When we leave, they ought to know. Betty, that woman, yeah, that's the woman when she couldn't fix the computer program, she prayed and God did it for her. Yeah, that woman, that crazy woman, yeah. They ought to remember her. Is that the way we should be remembered? Amen. Absolutely. We need to be remembered as children of the Most High God. Verse 11 and 12. This is a true saying. If we die with Him, we'll also live with Him. That's what we have to do. We have to die. We have to die to the flesh every day and live unto Jesus Christ. Now, if you die with Christ, you will live and you will actually reign with Him. If we endure those hardships, we will reign with Him. Everybody wants to reign, but they want it to be easy. You know, they want to come in the morning and they want somebody to fluff up a throne for you and put your pillow on it and then come over and sit down on your throne. Don't tell me I'm going to have to fight to get on this thing this morning. That's not what I want. You know, that's what people, they don't want. People, we are passive in the church. I know I was one of those far too many years. He says, if we deny Him, He will deny us. Wow. I'm not going to deny Jesus. Are you? No. You know, I mean, when people tell me, you know, you can't do this or you can't do that. I said, well, it depends on who your God is. I can do this. I can pray for people in public anywhere I want to. And I'm telling you, why? It says, He will deny us, verse 13 and 14. If we are unfaithful, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Remind everyone of these things and command them in God's name to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless, and they can ruin those who hear them. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. This last week, one of the pastors of one of the biggest churches in America stood before a congregation of thousands and said the Mormons' religion is a Christian organization. Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen. And I looked at that and I said, Joel, son, I know you may be young and may be a motivational teacher, but before you start talking about the Mormon church, why don't you get educated on the Mormon church? Because it's obvious you don't know nothing about the Mormon church. Let me ask you a question. You may not know nothing about it either. I didn't at one time. But if somebody tells me Jesus and Lucifer were brothers, would you agree with that? No, but that's what they teach. And if I were to tell you that God the Father, the one we serve as spirit, that God the Father was a man on another planet, and He finally became good enough to become God, and then He was promoted from that planet to this galaxy, and He became the God of this galaxy. Do you believe that about our God? I don't believe that either. I think that's the biggest lie. That guy Joseph Smith, he wrote a book full of lies, and I'm telling you what, the stuff that they do, in fact, one of the men that was a high priest in the Mormon church, Ed Decker, Ed Decker got saved. He was one of the highest priests in the Mormon church in Salt Lake City. And he got saved. He really got saved. And he has spent his life telling and teaching these principles about what they believe and what they, because he's a man that knows what he's talking about. And he said, if you're a Mormon, you're not saved. Well, of course, the pastor of the First Baptist Church over here, you know, he got on national television and said the Mormons are not Christians, they're cults, and he explained a little bit about it. He was very nice and gentle in what he did, but what he said was true. Well, Joel said, I don't agree with so-and-so, the pastor of the Baptist Church in Dallas. He's not right. You know, I've heard Mitt Romney, I've heard him say that he is a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, yeah, he's a believer in Jesus Christ, but there is many Jesus Christ. There's not just one. Now, there is only truly one Jesus Christ, and that's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But the ones that the Mormons worship is not the right one. Now, when I went out there to Salt Lake City, when I prayed for Dr. Gary Young out there in Salt Lake City, Utah, I asked a question when I'm teaching these people out there about these things while I'm out there for 3 days. They're talking to me, and I'm saying, telling him these things, and finally I said, you know, let me ask y'all a question. You know, y'all been out here, you got this humongous giant church. Have you ever seen the church in Salt Lake City? It's an awesome thing. It's a big, big, magnificent, I don't tell how many millions and millions of dollars that thing costs. I asked the question, how many of you have ever seen, I said, this man right here, Dr. Young, all y'all know him. You all know his back was crushed. And you know, I prayed for him on a cell phone from Dallas, and the Lord Jesus Christ instantly healed that man over a cell phone. I said, now I got one question to ask. When's the last time y'all saw a miracle of this significance in the Mormon church in Salt Lake City, Utah? And Dr. Young himself spoke up and said, we have recorded information for over 100 years. There has never been a healing in the Mormon church in over 100 years. I thought, you know, that sounds almost as bad as the Baptist church that I belong to. Isn't that true? Because when I was in the Baptist church, I never saw a healing either. Why? Because we didn't pray for nobody. You know, so there's something wrong with this. But anyway, as I taught them these principles about who God really is, I thought, when I walked off from there, I thought, well, all I can say is I left Dr. Young there healed. And everybody knew he had a crushed back. And when I prayed for him, he didn't have a crushed back no more. So it was some kind of a supernatural miracle that took place. And it didn't happen when they prayed, but it happened when I prayed. So what does that tell you? Which one of us is teaching a lie? Them. It's not me, right? Because if I don't do things that pleases God and does not do what he says, is he going to do a miracle like that for me? No, he is not. No, he is not. But if I keep myself clean and pure, it says, remind everyone of these things and command them in God's name to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless and they can ruin those who hear them. So if you're going to stand up on national television and make a statement, if you happen to be a teacher, preacher, or whatever, in God's name, before you make the statement, at least study out the subject you're going to talk about. You know, don't just get up here and make a blatant statement, because you know you could be wrong. But you know how many people, when they hear Joel Osteen make that statement, they're going to think he's a preacher. He's a preacher of the biggest church in the country. He could never be wrong. Let me tell you, he can be wrong and he is wrong. We're going to have to stand our ground for Jesus. And I think that really things are coming that we're not going to like. Now then, let's go to verse 15 and 16. Work hard so God can approve you. What? I got to work hard? That goes against everything you've been taught in America in the last 20 years. You know, I can remember when I was a young man, I come to Dallas to work, go to work for Dallas Automotive. I had been working for a Chevrolet garage, and here I was, 18 years old. But I'd been working there already nearly 3 years. I could read micrometers. I could read dial indicators, I could read depth gauges, I could read feeler gauges. I did all those things as a 17, 18-year-old boy. I come to Dallas to take a test for Dallas Automotive, and there was a multitude of men in there, and here I am, this young kid, and they hand me all these tests, and I mean, I'm just in a few minutes, you know, I'm micing this down, tell what size it is and everything, and I hand my stuff in. The guy said, you already threw? I said, yeah. He looked, and he said, wow, you're 100% correct. He said, when do you want to go to work? When do you want to go to work? I told him, I said, well, you know, I'd like to give my company where I am at least a week's notice. He said, okay, we'll put you to work 1 week from Monday. I said, okay. Now, see, I had been trained. I had worked hard. I had applied myself. I learned how to do things. There's a whole lot of men there wanted that job that I had, but they couldn't meet the requirements. But, man, I knew it, and I knew it quick, you know, and so, man, it was no problem. So, man, they put me to work. Wow. Work hard so God can approve you. I think since God commanded us to work hard here, I think he meant for us to work hard at whatever we do. You know, so many people today that are Christians, we stand around by the drinking fountain, you know, we stand by the coffee machine, you know, or the drink machine. We don't work diligently. You know, I've known some Christians that would be late to work every day. If they're supposed to be here at 8 o'clock in the morning, they get here at 8:30. You know, praise God, I don't have nobody like that, but I've seen people like that. I mean, I've seen people that just, and then, of course, when it comes time to go home in the afternoon at 10 minutes to 5, they're standing there by the time clock waiting for it to hit 5 o'clock so they can punch that thing and be gone. You know what? When those people come up for promotion, guess who don't ever get it? If I happen to be the manager, they ain't none of them going to get it. You know, that guy that's diligent, that guy that works hard, he's the one that I'm going to make sure gets the increase. They're the ones I'm going to take care of. Those that don't do nothing, hey, I'm not going to give them nothing. Then he says, be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid godless, foolish discussions that lead to more and more ungodliness. 17 and 18. This kind of talk spreads like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are examples of this. They have left the path of truth, teaching or preaching the lie that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred, and they have undermined the faith of some. Verse 19 and 20. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are His, and those who claim they belong to the Lord must turn away from how much? All wickedness. He will not tolerate. That's another one of his rules. You must turn away from all wickedness. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. Now, the expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. I can remember when I was a kid at home, we had one very nice set of silverware. Mom kept in a little box. Nobody ever used it until the preacher was invited to dinner on Sunday. Then that came out, and I thought, wow. When I read this, I thought, wow. You know, mothers, and they still do that, don't they, Betty? They save the special stuff for special guests, right? I mean, you know, if it's just your kids over for the day, you just get out the old stuff for them, right? You know, you don't get out the good stuff, the gold and the silver. It says they're used for everyday use. Verse 21 and 22. If, now this is a big word, if you keep yourself pure, think about this. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a utensil God can use for His purpose. Your life will be clean and you'll be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Now then, I'm going to tell you what Cheryl wanted me to tell you last night at the fish fry. We were sitting way back over in the far corner of one of the fire hall houses at the end of the table eating our fish, and a little lady came over with her son about 8 or 9 years old. She came over and she said, Mr. Scrivener, you may not remember us, but said we were in Cook's Medical Center when this boy was 7 days old, and they told us he couldn't live, and we had heard about you. And we called you, and you were so gracious to drive all the way to Cook's Medical Center, and you ministered to me and my husband, and then you told us some things to do, and we did it. And then you guaranteed that when you prayed for our son, he would live if we would obey and do what God says, and said we did. And with tears in her eyes, Jeff, you were there, you saw this, experienced this too, just like Cheryl did. She said several times, I will never forget you. I will be forever indebted to you. This boy is alive because of your prayer. I almost cried myself. And I thought to myself, that scripture came to my mind. I left there, I thought, Lord, because I have worked so hard, so diligently, So I have tried my best to keep myself pure and clean. When you had a little boy, you didn't want to die, but because there was sin in the lives of these parents, you had them call me because I had the answer, and I drove down there and I showed them what their sin was. They both repented. And I prayed for them, and that little boy standing there, and here's a mother with tears in her eyes saying, "We will never forget you, Mr. Scrivener. Never. This is your miracle child." And again, as she started to leave one more time, she said, "I will never forget you." Didn't she, Jeff? Could you see those tears in that woman's eyes? Was she grateful? Yes. Now then, I don't know about you, but if all the work I'd ever done and all the hours I'd ever studied and all the prayers I'd ever prayed, if that child had been the only one that ever got healed, it would have all been worth it for that one little boy. That one little boy. Because who knows what God may use that boy for? You know, that boy may be an evangelist someday. He may win millions of people to Christ. But right now he's a 9-year-old boy. Just think, do you want to be a vessel unto honor? Or do you want to be just a normal tool? I don't want to be wood, hay, and stubble. Do you? No. Is it worth it to fight the fight? Yes. When you saw those tears in that mother's eyes last night, I'm telling you, by the time we got home, I still couldn't stop crying. I mean, I just cried. I couldn't help it. I just thought, wow, there's a little guy that his mother knew that Cook's Medical Center, just like my granddaughter, they said she cannot live. It's over. But she's 13 today, running and playing. Isn't God awesome, Scott? Is it worth paying the price for, Kim? Yes. Should every Christian be willing to work hard and be a pure, holy vessel? Did you enjoy getting healed when I prayed for you? Isn't God good? See, we all should do that, shouldn't we, Joseph? Every one of us should purify ourselves, just like the Scripture says. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a utensil God can use for His purpose. Do you want to be used for the Lord? Boy, I do. I love it when He sends me somewhere and when He does a miracle like that, because I'm telling you, if Cook's Medical Center says this little boy can't live and all I did was pray, I'm telling you what, guess who raised him up? Who was it?
Jesus.
Jesus, absolutely. We know who raised that little boy up. It wasn't me. But it was my prayer. I got to pray the prayer for that little boy. 9 years later, when Mother saw me over there, she had to come over and tell me how grateful she was. And just like she said, "I will never forget you, Mr. Scrivener. Never." Wow. I think every Christian should be like that, don't y'all? I think we should do what the King says. Keep yourself pure. You will be a utensil God can use for His purpose. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. I was watching Fox News the other day, and one of the guys, this is 6 months ago or whatever, and one of the guys was retiring, and each person was saying what they thought about this guy. And when they come to one guy, he said, "Well, all I got to say about Joe or Bob or whatever his name was, I don't even remember." He said he could tell the best dirty jokes I ever heard in my life. I thought, oh God, do I not want to be remembered like that? No. I only want to be remembered one way. This is the craziest man for Jesus I ever met. Is that the way you want to be remembered, bro?
I do.
The craziest woman they ever met. All that girl ever does is talk about Jesus. Is that the way we want to be remembered? That's the way we should be remembered. Your life will be clean and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Verse 22 says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Anything. I mean, anything that stimulates youthful lust, run from it. Follow anything that makes you want to do right. Pursue faith and love and peace and enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. That's going to eliminate a lot of your friends. I'm serious. You can't be around people that's telling dirty jokes all the time. I mean, just think of what Eldon told us the story about, how he went up back in the summer and actually in front of two men, one of them's his neighbor and the other guy lives somewhere close, but they couldn't get the line loose, and Eldon went up there and asked the Lord to send him an angel, and he just broke those lines right loose. And they couldn't believe what they saw, but they saw a man of God in operation. And then when the guy needs to be prayed for, does he go to the guy, the other guy, the big guy that was helping him? No. Who did he come to? Eldon. He come to the man of God. People don't go to people that are telling dirty jokes and all that kind of stuff. Even the lost world knows if you want something, you come to a man of God. You don't go to some guy that's always, I mean, if this only thing comes out of this guy's mouth is Monday night football and Sunday football, and he knows everything about every football team that's out there or every soccer team or whatever your gift is, and you know how many yards they've run, how many tackles they made and everything else. But somebody said, I say, you know who the Apostle Paul is? And they say, who? You don't know who the Apostle Paul is? I don't believe I ever heard of him. Well, let me tell you. Do you want that guy praying for you? Absolutely not. I don't want him praying for me because he ain't going to get through. I guarantee you don't even know who to pray to. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Follow anything that makes you want to do right. Pursue faith and love and peace. And enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. In fact, somebody asked me here a while back, no offense to none of you guys, but somebody asked me here a while back, Herman, why don't you hang out with more people than you do? I said, I can't find anybody that's pure. I said, there's so few people that are pure. I don't want to go out to dinner with people. That's all they talk about is baseball. You know, I don't want to go out to dinner with you if all you're going to talk about is the world and what happened last week. I go with you one time, and when I go, and if that's all you talk about, you can be assured I won't go back. I'm not going to spend my time with you. I'd rather spend my time at home in my study locked up with me and Jesus. But now, if you're willing to talk about God, at least part of the time, you know, hey, I don't mind going to dinner with you if you talk about the Lord. But if you're talking about your car or your airplane or whatever, I might listen to your airplane for a little while. But not very long. I want to talk about Jesus. Isn't that what we're supposed to be? Is that what the Lord told us to do? Pursue faith, love, and peace. Is that right? Yeah. And the companionship of those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. 23 and 24. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. In other words, if somebody starts talking about things in the Word, don't get into an argument with them. Well, I heard this, or I heard my pastor say this. Just go to the Word and say, let's see what the Word says. Read it right here. And that's what I do. I've had so many people tell me, you know, that there is no relationship between sin and sickness. And I take them to a few places in the Word and say, well, read this. What does it say? And they read it, and I say, you know, it says right there, if you will diligently seek the Lord, put Him first, love Him, He will take all sickness away from you. I said, so what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean what it says. I said, well, then pray tell, why didn't God put in His Word what He meant? Because I'm telling you, He did mean what He said. You know that? So here's what we hesitate, even in my own life. If I come down with something, I mean, I've reached a point now. Man, I mean, if anything tries to overtake me, first thing I do, I just fall on my knees. I said, Lord, what have I done that doesn't please You? You know, I don't want this runny nose. I know there's something that I've done wrong. Now, I ask you to tell me because Your Word clearly says that if I obey You and do everything You say, You will take all sickness away from me, and this sickness is trying to come up on me. So, Lord, I must have done something You do not like. And when He tells me, I say, Lord, I repent, and I won't never do that again. Is that the way to do it? And then you can walk in divine health. You know, but, boy, people don't want to hear this. You know, if I'm sick, I got a sin in my life. Well, I mean, according to the Word of God, that's what it says. If I'm sick, I got a sin in my life. It says, after it only starts fighting, it said, the Lord's servants must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. They must be able to teach effectively and be patient with difficult people. Now, you know any difficult people? Oh, no? Okay, good. I'm glad you don't. Praise the Lord. I really think there's a lot of difficult ones out there. Somebody may say, well, yeah, it's my husband. He's sitting right beside me. Or, yeah, it's my wife. She's very difficult. But you need to get over that. You need to get back in a love walk with your spouse. If you don't, I guarantee both of you is going to be sick. Then let's look and see what 25 and 26 says. They should gently teach those who oppose the truth. You know, when people say, I don't believe that sickness and sin are directly related. Well, I bring you to a healing school, and I gently teach you for the first 2 hours in a healing school where sin comes from. Now then, if you don't get it in those 2 hours, you have something wrong. You ain't paying attention. because you just can't miss it in those 2 hours. But I gently teach you for a couple of hours those people that are opposing the truth. And then it says, if I teach you this, then look what it says there. It says, perhaps, not necessarily will it happen, but perhaps God will change those people's hearts. And they will believe the truth. Now, who is going to have to move on their heart for them to believe the truth? God's going to have to. And if you gently teach them, it says perhaps he will do that, right? But not necessarily. Not necessarily every time is God going to change that person's heart. It may not be time this time. He may have something else for them, and it may take 3 healing schools before they get it. But if that's the case, then God knows they need to be here 3 more healing schools. And when they are, and he'll show them something or teach them something that they didn't know, because he is the healer. And if he knows that it's time to do it, hey, he'll heal you the first time. But if he doesn't, you stay with it. It says, they will, and he says, they should gently teach those who oppose the truth, and then perhaps God will change those people's hearts, and they will believe the truth. Now, this next verse, I want you to really look at this verse. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him, the devil, to do whatever he wants. That's what's going on today. That's exactly what's going on today. In the church, people are not willing to listen to the truth. They want to go out and do what they want to do, and they don't believe the truth, and so they don't even want to come listen to the truth. I'm going to tell you, I have had people right here in this church, since I built this church in the last 3 years, not many, but I've had a few people that come to a healing school, and I start talking about how sickness and sin are directly related, and I am putting the scriptures on the board to confirm it, and they get so offended, they get up and walk out. And they later tell somebody that brought them, I would never listen to that guy. He's crazy. He's completely off base. Well, if I'm off base, then God's word's off base, because I'm putting it on the screen. I'm not teaching something that come out of my mind. It's out of the Word of God. Jeff, do I teach what the Word says? I mean, Dave said I'm the only man he ever seen that just starts at chapter so-and-so and reads line by line, word by word. But I can't be wrong on those kind of messages, can I? I can't make a mistake if I read God's Word. And so, just like he says there, then they will come to their senses, and after the Lord's moved on their heart, and up there he says only perhaps, but once he does move on their heart, and then they will believe the truth. Then, after they believe the truth, they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. You know, most people in a church today don't even know they're in the devil's trap. They don't have a clue that the devil is what's making them sick and afflicting them. But that's who's doing it to you. Because he has legal right to you because of sin. Something you're not doing is not lining up with the requirements of God's Word. And so he says there, then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him. How would you like to think that you are being held captive by the devil? Would you like that? Especially when he says, and he'll do to you whatever he wants to. So if he wants to come put an ear infection on you, he'll put it on you. If he wants to blind your eyes, if he has legal right to you, he'll blind your eyes. If he wants to put cancer on you, he'll put cancer on you. Now, who in the world would want to be held captive by that beast? Nobody in their right mind. But think how many of us are. Think how many people are held captive by the devil. And then he does what he wants to. So he makes you sick when he wants to. He torments you. He breaks you. You're financially strapped. You can't make it from payday to payday. And somebody will say, my first question when people say I'm financially strapped, I say, are you a tither? I can't afford to tithe. I said, that's why the devil is holding you captive. And he's doing what he wants to when he wants to when you don't tithe. Because God said in his word, that is the only thing in the word of God where God says, I'll not only curse you, but I'll curse you with a curse if you don't tithe and give me offerings. So wherever you go to church, I don't care where you go, you need to give God at least 10% of your income plus some gifts. And somebody said, all you want is our money. I don't want your money. I didn't tell you how to give it to this church. You give it to some church. I'm not telling you how to give it to this one. I'm just telling you, you better give it to somewhere where there's a man of God preaching the Word of God. If you don't, do not want to be held captive by the devil, because he's going to take you captive, and he'll have you captive, and he'll do whatever he wants to at his will until you come into your senses and repent and start tithing. And when you do, then he has no more legal claim to you. But there's many people in the church that are broke and afflicted, sick, and their children are sick and dying early, and they have no idea it's because they're not tithing. But that's one of the reasons. You're cursed with a curse because you do not tithe. Now, did I write the book? No, not hardly. I did not write the book, but the Lord said that. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be held captive by the devil and for him to do what he wants to at his will. Do you? No, not at all. Well, what do you got to do to not be there? Obey God. Be that pure vessel. Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you for this glorious day. I thank you for your word. Because of this wonderful word, we can learn how you work and how the enemy works and what we can do to keep him off of our back so we can walk in blessing and divine health. Lord, I praise you for your word. I know you mean everything you say in your word. So I ask you to give me the boldness to proclaim your word so your people that come and hear your word that I proclaim, they will be free and they will be blessed financially and physically. They don't have to be sick or afflicted and they don't have to be broke if they'll just obey your word. Now, Father, I thank you and praise you for this day, for this week. I thank you for every one of those people that's going to fast this week. And I know there will be some that'll fast that's not even on the list that'll fast and pray this week because there's always somebody that does that. And I want to thank you and praise you for blessing all of them because you will know who is doing what and everything. So, Father, thank you in Jesus' name for being the mighty God you are and blessing us the way you do. Thank you for being so patient with us and being so merciful to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.